on WRIR 97.3 LP FM. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and I'm your host for Inspire Indeed, where we are going to learn about community issues and the nonprofits and community leaders that are working to address them. This show today is part four of a five-part series focused on the complex issue of homelessness in our community. We first heard from Kelly Kinghorn a few weeks ago. She's the director of Homeward, which helps to convene service providers and gather and analyze data about homelessness in our region and help to pinpoint the most effective strategies for addressing that. Alice Tuzion is the director at Virginia Supportive Housing, and she talked about how the nonprofit she leads is providing housing primarily for single adults with mental health issues and or some other form of disability. Kimberly Tucker was here last week talking to us about St. Joseph's Villa and how they serve families experiencing homelessness and how using some new approaches that focus on permanent housing may be more helpful than some of the longer-term shelter options. But whatever population you look at, one of the cross-cutting issues related to homelessness is substance abuse. Some people fall into homelessness due to their addiction, and others turn to drugs or alcohol as a way of coping with homelessness. Ensuring people have a way to overcome addiction is often the key to getting them back into housing and contributing to society. Today, Karen Stanley has joined us to talk to us about homelessness and addiction. She leads the nonprofit called Caritas, which provides a variety of services related to homelessness. She's going to share some information about the organization, but specifically talk about a really important program called The Healing Place. Bob is also with us here today. Bob is a successful former client of The Healing Place who now gives back to the mission as a peer mentor, as well as helping out in other ways. And he's here to share his personal story about what steps led to his stability. Welcome, Karen and Bob.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
So tell me a little bit about why Caritas exists, Karen.
Well, we really started back in the late 70s, early 80s as an emergency shelter solution as the mental health environment was changing and people were being released to the community. This, a group of downtown congregations got a little upset about that and decided to become proactive and put together a network of congregations that were opening their facilities, their fellowship halls, basically, to allow people to come in, especially in the winter months, to get out of the weather. So that was the core, that still is the core program of Caritas.
And how long ago was that?
It was, it's funny, we were incorporated as Caritas in 1987, but the records reflect that this was going on as a program called Winter Cots as early as the late 70s, early 90s.
Okay, well, that's
80s.
Often how it happens with community work. Things are happening at the grassroots level before it becomes formalized.
Right.
Yeah. So Caritas has been providing emergency shelter since that time. Mm-hmm. But through that work, I gather you learned that there are other ways to help address this need.
Absolutely. We've, especially in the last few years, I'm sure Kelly spoke about the 10-year plan to prevent and end homelessness. Mm-hmm. And what Caritas realized we needed to do was look at a way that we could focus more on the stability and less on just the emergency shelter, and have since created two new programs that allow us the ability to do that.
What are those programs?
In 2009, we took over the operations of Virginia's only furniture bank, which had been called Embrace Richmond, and it's now the Caritas Furniture Bank. And then in January of 2011, we launched a new job readiness program called Caritas Works to help folks get be able to talk about their barriers to employment and actually be very prepared for that employment when it comes along.
So really working, no pun intended, but on their workforce development.
Yes.
and skills to get back into earning a living wage.
Correct.
So, and the Furniture Bank, what does it do?
The Furniture Bank actually works, we partner with about 60 other community organizations and government organizations to repurpose donated furniture and essential household items. We helped almost 800 households last year, and we kept 350,000 pounds out of the landfill in doing so.
Oh, that's a nice
offshoot. It's got a green component to it as well.
So that's families or individuals that are moving out of homelessness are able to get set up in a house because of the Furniture Bank.
Right, and it's even a little broader than the homelessness. We work with Red Cross. We work with Refugee and Immigration Services.
Okay.
And
members in need.
Some of the kids aging out of foster care that need a bed for their independent living.
Great. So Right now, you are also looking at the Healing Place is one of your important programs, right? How did that come about?
Well, in 2007, I took on the dual role as being the executive director both of Caritas and of the Healing Place. And after 5 years, it kind of came to a point where we need to either make a decision about me going one way or the other or seeing if we could do it together. And both boards agreed to let's at least do a feasibility study and see if it made sense in more than just my mind, and it did. And so effective the beginning of this month, July 1st, the Healing Place became part of Caritas. It's still a separate 501, but it's a subsidiary of Caritas now,
okay.
So it's one of our programs.
So it's a way to find some efficiencies in the work that you're doing.
Absolutely.
Were you sharing? Well, before we get into that, and honestly, nonprofit mergers is a subject for potentially another show.
Absolutely.
So I don't want to get too much into that and sidetrack us from the issue at hand. So let's get back to the Healing Place. The Healing Place, though, was started before you came on board, right?
Correct.
Can you tell us a little bit about the history?
Sure. Back in the late 90s, there was an evaluation done driven by Homeward to really look at what was going on in our continuum of care and to see where the gaps in services were. And it was we had a glaring, gaping hole in recovery services for predominantly homeless men, but for homeless individuals in our community. So a group was given the task to go out and look at other communities that were similar size that had had this issue, that had had some positive solutions, and they found a little place in Louisville, Kentucky called the Healing Place. And we weren't the first ones to realize that it was a great solution. They had replicated it in Raleigh prior to us deciding that that was a good fit for Richmond.
Okay, so it was a community effort to identify a successful model for people that were in need of recovery services, mm-hmm. and then work to bring it to town.
That's what happened. And so, we opened in March of 2005.
Okay, that's when you actually opened your doors and started serving people. So
correct.
The Healing Place is just for men, right?
Currently, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, how describe to us the services that are provided there.
Well, within one roof, we have 168 beds within the 23,000 square foot facility, and then we have 10 apartments and 2 houses for transitional out in the community. And underneath that one large roof, we have 2 outreach components, an emergency shelter of 20 beds, which we consider a wet shelter, meaning people can come in under the influence if they're not ready to take that step. And then we have a social detox. We have one of the only social detox, a non-medical facility
in our region.
Basically
detox?
Just means that we feed people, we hydrate them, we keep an eye on their vital signs, but we don't administer any kind of medications to help with the step-down effects of detoxing from, like, when folks are on heroin, mm-hmm. sometimes they can be stepped down
medically. You don't do the medical step down. Okay.
And it doesn't work for all types of addictions. Like a chronic inebriate is not a good fit for our detox. Having somebody that's can be very dangerous to detox from alcohol without being medically supervised.
So if somebody came with that issue, you would refer them somewhere else?
Correct. And then with the understanding they're certainly welcome to come back once they've been okayed by the doctor.
Okay. So the program itself, what are all the other beds?
Most of them are recovery beds. They're actually there's OTS 1 and 2, Off the Streets 1 and 2 is where they're actually learning about why their body reacts to chemicals the way it does. They're learning about the addiction, and then once they get into the recovery or the educational part of the program, they actually learn about how to use the steps of AA, which it's an Alcoholics Anonymous-based program. They learn
That's
to
the,
actively...
the 12-step program.
Right. They actually learn to work the steps to use the tools to have a better life down the road.
So those 12 steps will work whatever your addiction is.
Yes.
So you said Off the Streets 1 and 2, so there's sort of stages that you
Correct.
Look at within your
That's
program?
That's considered the motivational phase, and we're seeing how committed they are to this recovery thing that may be new to them, or it's maybe something they've tried on their own many times.
Yeah, so. I was just thinking about that. It could be that they've tried many other programs in the past already.
Yeah. What we've mm-hmm. learned, at least with the folks, that this was brought to Richmond for the homeless population, although homeless can be a very broad description in our program. But what we've learned about people that have been in this addiction for a longer period of time is that 30, 60, 90-day programs are not as effective, mm-hmm. and they need a longer-term program to actually get what they need to be successful on the outside.
How long is your program?
It's self-paced, but I would say anywhere from 8 to 14 months to get through the program. We have a, with the addition of the Works, the Caritas Works program, which is the, has taken the place of what was 1 or 2 weeks of life skills at the Healing Place, adding that 5-week intensive job readiness along with stipended internships coming out of it has added a couple months to the program, but we're seeing great results because of it.
Well, you have that transition in employment skills that people are going to need to be independent.
Absolutely.
So you said it was a stipend, and they get stipends for their internships. Mm-hmm. Is that internships within Caritas or out in the community?
We partner with some organizations. We trade off with some folks from Goodwill. We've had a couple of interns up at Homeward, but mostly it's through the Caritas Furniture Bank. Where they're learning to use their skills in a warehouse environment. We actually can be trained on how to use the forklift and just warehousing and distribution of product and things like that, which tends to be a great place for folks that don't have a huge job skills to mm-hmm. pull from.
Mm-hmm. And at least instill those values of
right.
getting
they
to work on
what
time.
Learned.
And
right.
yeah. So you mentioned that a lot of people maybe have tried recovery programs in the past. What sets the Healing Place apart? What's different about it, aside from the length of time?
Well, I think the length of time, but also the fact that it's run by people in recovery. I mean, it's just... you know, when you've got everybody that works in the program is in recovery, most of whom are graduates of the Healing Place model, you know, they've heard it all. They've heard every excuse and every story in the book and probably have used some of them themselves. And so it really, you know, we have community meeting every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9 where they address their individual issues and they bring concerns upon their brother. And it really, that peer-to-peer recovery model is very, very effective.
So they're really holding each other accountable.
Absolutely.
To
they are their brother's keeper in many ways.
Mm-hmm. So how do you know overall that your program is working? Like, what are some of your measures of success?
Well, we're implementing another whole level of measures with the Works program. But right now, we keep track of those that have alumni'd out of our program. We've got about 280 alumni to date. There have been about 650 that have gone through the educational part of the program, but that are actually have gone through the 3 to 18 months of being in transition and alumni'd out. There are about 280, and we keep track of them, and we have had a consistent percentage of about 65% that are remaining clean and sober, which is just an amazing number compared to some of the mm-hmm. more expensive shorter-term programs around the country.
Mm-hmm. Now, some of those more expensive programs might be a program that could be reimbursed by insurance. Are you able to get your services reimbursed
no.
at all?
We fundraise mm-hmm. the entire budget for the Healing Place. We do not get any type of reimbursements. We don't know what's going to happen with the health care reform. It's the possibility that recovery community organizations will be able to reimburse at some point, but we're not holding our breath. We're continuing mm-hmm. to do what we do, which is telling the story, letting mm-hmm. people come in and meet the people mm-hmm. that have lived this and are making their lives much better than it had been for many, many years.
Now, if one of our listeners wanted to come and see the Healing Place, how would they find you and get in touch with you?
We've got a website. We haven't combined the websites yet, so it's thprichmond.org, and they can get a hold of me. There's a phone number and there's an email address on there, and we can have them come meet us for community. You know, we do tours pretty much any time.
Great. So they could come take a look at it and see what it's really all about firsthand.
Right.
Interested. And could people also come help out somehow? Do you have volunteer opportunities? Or
it's tough because mm-hmm. it is a recovery program, a 12-step program. So much of what's done is done by the men. But with this mm-hmm. connection again with Caritas, they can yeah. come work side by side with the men in the Furniture Bank, which are my primary workforce in the Furniture Bank, or they can come volunteer through the Works program and help with resumes, mock interviews, interview prep, just like that. The business community is a great way to connect with the business community.
Oh, to help with the preparation
the works
for
program.
Employment.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how would they find? Could they find out how to do that through the same way
on the Caritas website?
Okay.
Again, that we're so new that hasn't fallen in
yeah,
priorities of combining that yet.
Uh-huh.
But on the Caritas website, which is caritasva.org, there's all sorts.
How do you spell Caritas?
C-A-R-I-T-A-S, as in Sam, V-A, like Virginia.org.
Okay.
And there's ways to plug in. We have a volunteer coordinator that will take some time and see what where your passion is and plug you in where it's appropriate.
Great. Well, I hope that some listeners will be thinking about how they might be able to make a contribution. So thanks for sharing that.
Okay.
You know, you brought to my attention the op-ed that was in the paper just a few days ago. It was in the Richmond Times-Dispatch a few days ago, written by Molly McBean.
Teresa McBean.
I know another Molly McBean. Sorry, Teresa. And Teresa McBean was writing about recovery and how we can look at it as an issue not of public safety as we traditionally have, but really more an issue of public health, if we could look at it as a healthcare issue instead of an incarceration issue.
Right.
But, you know, we've been doing this so-called war on drugs for a number of years now, and how do we as a community, as a society, kind of change our lens from looking at things in terms of public safety and crime and shift that to healthcare?
Well, I think understanding part of the problem is the first thing, and understanding that this is not a choice, and but this is a disease we're dealing with, and we wouldn't treat people with cancer the way we treat people with addiction. Obviously, there are other things that happen when you have an addiction, and you're trying to do everything you can to feed that addiction. But to understand that for those of us that are not in recovery, that need for that drug or alcohol is in the same part of our body and same part of our brain as you and I need water and food. And to really understand that it's a very difficult thing to fight.
Mm-hmm.
And, so part of it's just the understanding that this is not these are not evil, bad people. They're people that are really struggling with a disease.
It's a disease, and it needs sometimes the approach of care rather
Absolutely.
Than just prohibition.
Right.
Yeah. Well, if you're just joining us here today, this is Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 LPFM. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and we're speaking with Karen Stanley, who is the CEO of Caritas. She's sharing some information about the nonprofit she leads and why it's so important that they address the issue of addiction and recovery and helping people find a permanent home. Along with Karen today is Bob, who is a former client of The Healing Place. Welcome, Bob. I'd really love to bring you into the conversation.
Oh, thank you, Elaine.
Well, first, thanks so much for being willing to share your personal story in such a public way. I think it's really valuable to hear that personal perspective. And I know you're not a spokesperson for people in recovery or anything like that, but just the individual stories, I think putting a face on the issue is going to be really helpful for people to think about how they might be able to help out. So if you don't mind, why don't you first just tell us about what choices and circumstances led you to eventually seek help at The Healing Place?
Sure, absolutely. I got to the point where after 23 years of being in active addiction, I could not imagine my life with alcohol and drugs, and I couldn't imagine it without. And, you know, there's a phrase that we have in recovery. I was given the gift of desperation. My options decreased, and my willingness just naturally increased at that point. I didn't know what to do, and, I had lost everything. A marriage, a wonderful wife, custody of my son, a wonderful career. And, and Karen had alluded to this, not taking anything away from a 28-day program, but for myself, I knew that I needed long-term care.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm 38 years old, and 23 years is a long, long time.
Most of your life.
Yeah, most of my life. And, so I came to The Healing Place August 21st of last year, and it was undoubtedly the best decision that I ever made. I'm learning how to live, and I say that, and, at 38 years old, I should be a lot further along, but, it is a disease, and I never realized that. And as I went through the educational part of the program, I learned about that, and now that doesn't give me the green light to act any way I want to act. I have to be responsible in my recovery and
mm-hmm.
To turn my life around. But, The Healing Place has absolutely saved my life, and I'm truly blessed to be there
mm-hmm.
and to be able to give back.
Can you share a little bit about your experiences there, like what you experienced when you were going through those steps along the way and how you kept yourself engaged?
Absolutely. When I first came into the program, and Karen had mentioned this, I went into OTS1, and that's off-the-street one, and it's motivational. the men get moved up depending on how many meetings they make. And it was tough, you know, do a lot of walking. But as I, you know, progressed through the program, I was given more opportunity, more freedom, more responsibility, and which for me just made me feel better about myself. And again, it was just about learning about the disease, about myself, about how to, you know, interact with people and mm-hmm. how to live my life responsibly, something I really had never done before.
Did you ever have a point where you just thought, I can't do this, just feeling like giving up?
In the beginning, mm-hmm. the first month, yeah. Mm-hmm. I swore to myself that I would only be there for 30 days. And, you know, 30 days came and went, and then I said, okay, 60 days. Mm-hmm. And then I got to the point where, you know, I surrendered. You know, I remember I was laying in bed one night, and I just asked God to please help me to surrender. And ever since, and that was probably the fourth week, and you know, I succumbed to the fact that I needed to be there. And ever since then, it's been a journey. It's been mm-hmm. a great, great journey.
Great. Well, what about now you've been helping out as a peer mentor, isn't that right?
That's correct.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that you are working with some of your peers on in terms of your mentorship?
Yeah, I'm responsible for the gentlemen who just come into the program in OTS1 and OTS2. And for me, it's a blessing. These gentlemen are right off the street. They're scared. They don't know what to expect. They don't know what questions to ask. And, you know, it's my responsibility to guide them, to help walk them through the process, to tell them what they need to do. When I got there, I didn't know the answers. I couldn't think for myself. And I needed somebody to help guide me. And I don't think it's any surprise that I'm in that position.
Mm-hmm. So you had your own mentor when you came in.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there as a peer mentor, that is my responsibility. Mm-hmm. My partner and I are responsible for those gentlemen, and we help walk them through the process and help give them what they need to get through the process.
Yeah, that sounding board, I'm sure, is really important as you're trying to work through the decision to stick with the program for the long term.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Late, it's really interesting uh-huh. to see the guys come in. You know, they, one of them, I always hear them say, you know, I knew something was different about me before I ever picked up the first drink or drug. Mm-hmm. And then they walk in the door and they realize that they're in a building with a bunch of people just like them. And it's just been fascinating to see the relationships build and them support each other through this process. It's been pretty amazing to see. It's a program of attraction. So they quite often see people that they used to drink and drug with that are farther in sobriety than they are. And that's a real encouragement for them to, you know, if he looks that good and he can do it, then maybe I can do it too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you think that you're going to stick around as a peer mentor for a while then, or?
I love what I do, mm-hmm. And I've been thinking about, you know, my future and getting back in the workforce. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of options that are open that I'm praying about and I'm thinking about right now. So as of right now, that's what I'm doing, and I'm mm-hmm. very blessed to be in that position.
That's
yeah,
great.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I was kind of wondering what you see as your next steps as you move further in your sobriety, and I imagine you would stay connected to the Healing Place in some way, but sort of how do you see it rolling out to further independence in the community?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, my whole career goal has changed. I worked for academia for a university for a little over 6 years, and this experience has absolutely changed my life. Mm-hmm. I will absolutely be forever linked to the Healing Place, either directly or indirectly. That's a given. And I want to help other addicts and alcoholics, you know, maybe not in the venue that I'm working right now, mm-hmm. but in some form or fashion, absolutely.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Well, I think as the Healing Place shows, it's a successful model when you can have the peers and people that have actually been through that experience. That's where there's been more chance for long-term recovery.
Right.
Life and sobriety.
Right.
So, and by the way, congratulations. I think it's just wonderful
that you've
made the steps that you've made.
Thank you very much.
It's really fun to see the alumni come back that, you know, have 4, 5, 6 years of sobriety, come back and teach classes, and it's almost a reunion every time they come in the door.
Yeah, encouragement all the way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we're getting a little short on time, but we've got just another minute, and this is an tied to the issue of homelessness. So can you talk a little bit about how you're getting folks really out of long-term homelessness into housing stability?
Well, I think that the big key factors are the housing and the employment right now. And, mm-hmm. you know, with this environment, with the economic environment the way it is, it's been even more challenging. But, you know, to see that the men that are coming out of the Caritas Works program, the fact that 84% of them are employed within, you know, 3 to 6
even
months.
Even in this job market.
Even
that's
in this
great.
Job market. These are people with 80% of them are convicted felons, mostly because of their addiction, and mm-hmm. they with spotty work history. We're doing great work. It's working, and the men are becoming much more stable in their lives and reuniting with families in many cases, which is, you know, our ultimate goal is stability and pulling the families back together, or at least having them so that they start opening the doors with their children that may have been closed years ago. It's pretty mm-hmm. cool to watch.
Yeah, and that's going to be their support network long-term, hopefully. Yeah. Well, thanks again, Karen, for being with us.
Sure.
We're coming already to close of our time together today. The time has flown. Karen Stanley of Caritas has been talking to me about Caritas programs as well as specifically the Healing Place. And Bob, thanks a lot for being open and willing to share your personal story.
Welcome. Thank you.
Yeah, it's really important so that others can learn. Karen, could you remind our listeners again where they can go to learn more information about getting involved with Caritas
sure.
and the Healing Place?
Yeah, there's still separate websites right now, but the Healing Place is thprichmond.org, and that's like the Healing Place, thprichmond.org. Caritas is caritasva.org.
Great. Well, thank you. And my name is Elaine Summerfield. You've been listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 LPFM. Make it a wonderful day.